your health and change your life. Stay tuned for recent medical and naturopathic breakthroughs. If you have a question, you can reach us today at 800-281-8255, 800-281-8255, or at askjoed.com. Stay tuned.
Oh, yes. His love does endure, and his love is forever. I want to thank you for joining in today to the Ask the Pharmacist broadcast. Joe DiMatteo live in studio with you. Recent report talking about ALS and pesticide exposure. Recent report out of the Journal of Neurology, JAMA Neurology, says, hey, this ALS, this progressive neurodegenerative disorder that manifests initially with muscle weakness and weight walking difficulties and muscle cramps and slurred speech, and eventually progresses to the point where these areas of function become absolutely zero. This is a very serious situation. They say maybe up to 5, maybe 10% of ALS cases have an inherited trait, a mutation of a gene. Okay, maybe I can buy that, but here's what's really important. I have felt forever that toxicities, metals, chemicals, somehow, some way, didn't know how exactly, but they played a role. According to the National Institute of Neurologic Disorders, it's estimated 12,000 people in the U.S. have been diagnosed with ALS. And they're now linking certain pesticides, DDT, OCP, organochlorine pesticide, excuse me, pesticides that you hear me talk about all the time on this broadcast. DDT, methoxychlor, benzene hexachlorine, these exposures to these compounds can increase an individual's lifetime exposure and potential development of ALS. DDT is one form of the organochlorines that was used way back in the 40s and 50s, and yes, and it was banned in the mid-70s or so, but we see that many individuals that were exposed, that were born in the 40s and 50s, have been exposed to this chemical. Not only that, it has a very long half-life. It stays in the ground for decades. And they actually did some testing in the body of the individuals in adipose tissue and blood sampling and found that they're still finding residual amounts of these in people's blood. So now you see why I often recommend that we should consider a detox protocol. Why? Because I just, you know, want you to go on a detox and go to the bathroom a lot. And remember, we teach you, that's not what detoxification is really all about. Detoxing is all about upregulating the body's functional detoxification pathway so that you can offload these chemicals. It says here, our findings identify classes of pollutants that increase the likelihood of ALS and making it a modifiable disease risk factor. In other words, ALS, is it something that if we modify our environment, we could reduce the likelihood? It's a serious condition, also known as Lou Gehrig disease, way back to the baseball player, I guess, back in the 50s. An editorial link to the study says that, look, it's important in an effort to better understand the environmental, occupational types of exposures that can lead to ALS, and I could not agree more, and that this certain buildup of protein. And number two, we see another scenario, another article that we'll talk about here in a few moments, having similar, similar types of components to it, fasting and fatty liver disease. So you hear me often talk about fatty liver disease and what a common problem it is today in our society and how it's a precursor to cancer. And it's a result often of poor diet, Roman numeral one, too much junk food and processed foods and refined foods and not enough fibers. And that's Roman numeral one. Roman numeral two, you could have intestinal permeability or leaky gut, right? Leaky gut opens the door to fatty liver disease. Bad bacteria that is growing in the gut, if you don't have good bacteria growing, that can damage the liver as well. So we've got multiple points here, but now this article piece saying, look, there's something about fasting. Boy, if we just get folks to fast periodically, you can dramatically reduce the incidence. And we're going to probably be talking about and introducing a concept where periodically you don't fast, but you do 1 week out of a month that you go on a very restricted dietary component, and how this is able to change many of the characteristics and blood parameters and elevated liver enzymes and insulin resistance. So I just got to get you folks on a general trend of just taking better, better, and much better care of yourselves. 800-281-8255. The book of Psalms, Psalms 31, sadness. How many individuals battle sadness and depression, feelings of hopelessness and helplessness? No one's willing to help. Often individuals feel discorded, separated, despised, maybe forgotten, maybe hated, maybe rejected. Well, the Bible gives us examples of men and women that felt the same way that maybe you and I do at times, and have battled very similar scenarios in life that you and I have. Psalm 31 depicts that for us, and it's a psalm talking about in periods and times of distress and stress, depending upon God requires a significant commitment. In other words, you could be undergoing duress, stress, problems, physical or emotional or spiritual or otherwise, and if we do not commit in our walk with Him, it makes it virtually impossible. So I'm going to read you the end of this and give you kind of the scriptural punchline, but then I'm going to give you what the Bible, I believe, it says is a prescription for sadness. I talked about something similar to this months ago, called it the medicalization of sadness, how in essence, societally now, someone going through periods of sadness, we just feel that should just never happen, and so we have a prescription and a medication for them. And there are periods of times in our lives where we legitimately have to work through things. It says here in verse 23, love the Lord, all His faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to Him. He preserves. He protects. He keeps you intact for those that are true to Him. And we think of the word true meaning to be committed to, meaning to not give up on, meaning not to be adulterous in manner and worshiping or tracking after other gods, if you will. But the proud He pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, and all you that hope in the Lord, all of you that hope in the Lord. I think there's a couple takeaways here for us as we delve into the scripture today. Even in periods of severe sadness, it's okay to describe our feelings. David does here. It's okay to describe to God our hopelessness and helplessness, and this discontentment and discordedness that often we feel. It's okay to describe the rejection that we feel. But ultimately, what God is after then, what do you do? Now, I gave you the punchline, and you will see that up earlier in this psalm, this is where we see the nuts and bolts. It says, for I am in distress, and my soul and my body is in grief, and my life is consumed by anguish. My strength fails because of my affliction, because of all my enemies. I'm the contempt of my neighbors. I'm the object of dread. I am forgotten as though I were dead. But I trust in you in verse 14. You are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies. Let your face or let your favor, let your blessing shine upon your servant and save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, for I have cried out unto you. Let the wicked be put to shame and be silent in the realm of the dead, and let their lying lips be silenced, for with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. But how abundant are your good things, and in the shelter of your presence you hide them from all human intrigues. Bottom line, we can go through periods of sadness. We can feel cut off. We can feel discorded from life and from those around us, and because of either very negative or dire circumstances. But we see here that victory eventually comes. We're taught here that taking courage in God in your difficulties, and how important it is, even in the midst of the difficulties, to take courage because of the promises that He has to us to preserve us, to be strong, to take heart. Just when you think of the word strong, that means not easy to break, damage, not easy to subdue. When you're strong, you're not easily subdued, you're not easily overtaken, you're not easily damaged, you're not easily broken. Often also this meaning to have great moral power, having great resources, not easily disturbed. If you battle and you are overwhelmed with sadness, don't always medicalize it. Don't always, you know, make it into a medication or even a supplement. The first place that we go is to describe our feelings to Him, our sense of helplessness, hopelessness, and then, as we see here, take courage in Him that our victory eventually comes. Verse 23 says, love the Lord, all His faithful people, because He preserves those that are true to Him. But those that are proud, in other words, if you can't submit to the hand of God, if you are too prideful to admit your need for Him, in essence, the Bible says that those are paid back in full. 800-281-8255. We've got some other things on prayer and intercession as we get into the broadcast that I think will help you as well. Testosterone, can it improve insulin sensitivity? I have two different articles that say yes. So, you know, my thought forever has been, is it just about testosterone and libido and sex drive for men? Or is it important for men to understand that if their testosterone is low, that it can affect their health? In other words, you can have higher risks for hypertension, high blood pressure. You can have more difficult to treat hypertension, more difficult to manage. You have a greater incidence of developing type 2 diabetes. I mean, the list goes on from a circulatory and cardiovascular standpoint. This recent release says, pretty simply, on a research piece that appeared in the Journal of Cell Metabolism, that we see testosterone has the ability to regulate blood sugars, now watch this, by triggering key immune signaling mechanisms in the islet cells, the clusters of cells in the pancreas that produce insulin. We have found maybe the cause and a potential treatment pathway for type 2 diabetes in testosterone deficient men. Now that's the key thing. Men that are testosterone deficient are going to be at a much higher risk for type 2 diabetes development. We see here our study shows that testosterone is an anti-diabetic hormone in men. Let me repeat that. Medical School, Department of Medicine, Tulane University says what we're seeing is that testosterone has anti-diabetic hormone-like activity in men. Further experiments, even in laboratory animals, show that insulin-producing effects of testosterone could be abolished by blocking it post-meal. The study suggests that testosterone amplifies the islet impact of the hormone. Bottom line, your testosterone is low, you have a significant potential for developing type 2 diabetes and lowering insulin sensitivity. Another article in the Journal of Diabetes Care, we've already talked about this one, was done probably 4 or 5 months ago, or the final results. And it says, look, in a small group of about 100 men, maybe a little less, type 2 diabetics, 44 of them, half of them had very low testosterone levels. And it showed that their insulin signaling genes were decreased. Their insulin sensitivity was decreased. They were overweight. Their inflammation markers were high. Their insulin sensitivity markers were low. What they did was they repleted them with testosterone for a period of time. And here's what they found. Those markers for inflammation, the ability to lose weight, tumor necrosis factor alpha, and even interleukin, and insulin sensitivity, all of these markers improved when they repleted these men with testosterone. Testosterone is not an answer to all of your ills, guys. But you need to clearly know and understand that if your testosterone is deficient, it will affect your health in multiple ways, weaken bones, harden your arteries, make you at a higher risk for type 2 diabetes, make it more difficult to manage your blood sugars. I mean, the list certainly goes on and on and on. 800-281-8255. I'm going to go to the phones. Lee writes and says, I have a friend with early prostate cancer. What should he do? Is he curable? Well, that's pretty tough. I mean, I there's no way for me to answer, is he curable? I don't know enough about him, number one. Number two, it's early, always a good sign, but I don't know what his Gleason scores were. Higher the Gleason score, the greater the virulence of the cancer, the greater the potential for problems and metastases long term. So there's lots of factors. I don't know the quality of his health. What has he done to help himself? Has he gotten to a whole foods diet? Is he doing high doses of lycopenes? Is he eating avocados? I mean, is he doing some of the basics to help himself? I've been on anastrozole, says Georgia, for about 18 months. And I just had a bone density test done. And doc says I'm down about 5% in my bones, in my hips, my spine. The oncologist now wants to give me a shot that forces calcium back into the bone. So that might be something like a Zometa, reclassed. There's a couple different medications now on the market. I'm 64 years of age, was treated for second stage breast cancer in 2014. Chemo, radiation, surgery obviously was first. I recently watched your DVD on the hormone primer. My question is, all three types of estrogens, are they produced by the adrenals, and do I have another alternative to using anastrozole? I don't know that you have an alternative to the estrogen blocker, anastrozole, Georgia. I really don't. Now, you can do some nutrients like calcium deglucurates and indole carbonyls that act much like, you know, an anastrozole agent would, but I don't know that you can get away from it completely. That's a discussion that you have to have with your physician. Number two, are they produced by the adrenal glands? Are they all produced by the adrenal glands? Well, no. Your ovaries have the ability to produce. She doesn't tell me whether or not her ovaries are intact, but the ovaries have the ability to produce, and the adrenals will make DHEA, which can be converted to testosterone and possibly some estrogen. So, good question. Appreciate it. Georgia, I'm not real sure where she is writing in from, but we appreciate your email, 800-281-8255. Let's go to the phones. Sally, Louisiana. Sally, you're up. How can I help you?
Yes, hi. I am a 60-year-old female who has taken really good care of myself, I thought, and I've never had any health problems. But recently, several months ago, I developed a swollen lymph node behind my left ear.
Okay.
And I went to the doctors, and they couldn't figure anything out about it, so they told me to get a CAT scan, which they did. And then in the CAT scan, that was clear, but they noticed something in my upper chest. So they went back and did another test. CAT scan of my chest and diagnosed me with emphysema. Then they said COPD from a chest x-ray when they did a chest x-ray to compare to a previous one I had. Then I did a pulmonary function test and the pulmonary doctor told me nothing was wrong with my lung function, that I should disregard those other tests.
Okay.
Then I came up with this infection of some kind a couple weeks ago where I just really got sick. I had a fever, I had a cough, I had shortness of breath, went to the doctor. He put me on Levaquin and a steroid, and it cleared up a little bit, but I just went back to the doctor and it's still not clear. It's not, he said it doesn't sound as bad as it did, but it's still
sure.
not clear.
Yeah.
After 10 days of Levaquin, which is a pretty hefty antibiotic.
Yes,
and
it is.
So he's putting me on another week of Levaquin, and I'm thinking there's got to be something else I can do to try and get my body well.
Yeah. And the antibiotics are, in this case, possibly necessary, and this is where we need to be able to know to say when. Our uncle, I give. But on the flip side,
right.
you certainly have to be doing all the natural immune boosting supporting activities. So at a minimum, if you haven't cleared up, I'm going to tell you, you need to be on, some D, high doses. If you haven't had a vitamin D level, 5,000 units. If you had a vitamin D level and it's really low, 10,000 units. I get you on some of the buffered C powder, teaspoon in the morning, teaspoon at night, basic, immune support, basic immune stimulation. There are some other things certainly that we can do. We have a prep called ImmuStim, which is right in line with the maitake, shiitake mushroom extracts, which are stimulatory, but those are certainly the ABCs. If you're not doing some buffered C, some high doses of D, maybe even a little bit of some IgG essentials, which is an immune stimulant. But you've got to use some things that boost the immune system, support your immune system, because, look, your lung function, the specialist said, look, there's nothing wrong there, but you do have something brewing that you need to clear up. But it's not like you have some chronic, ongoing scenario. So I'm hoping
right.
those little recommendations make some difference for you and help you out, Sally.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you
so much.
Alrighty.
Hey, you can reach us on the off-air number if you need more specific counsel, 888-865-9595, 888-865-9595. Folks, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we got a lot more to cover, maybe even talk a little bit more about Sally there in that situation, takes good care of her health, all that stuff, swollen lymph nodes. And all, now what's going on with these antibiotics? She needs maybe an additional immune boost. Maybe even need to get her on some high doses of the probiotics. Stay tuned, folks. I'll be back in just a minute.
Considering a probiotic? Just remember that what's on the bottle isn't necessarily what's in it. This is Joe DiMatteo, and like you, my family's health is extremely important to me, and I won't give them just anything. Many probiotics are not shelf stable. They deteriorate in the warehouse and in shipping, so what's on the box is no longer in the product by the time it gets to you. That's why I develop Probiotic Essentials, so I can rest assured my family is getting the full dose of high quality strains their bodies need. In fact, we regularly send our Probiotic Essentials from our store shelves to an independent lab to verify the quality and potency of our product. Yeah, we're a little crazy about quality control, but you know what? That's okay with me. Knowing that your family and mine are getting nothing but the highest quality probiotics possible makes it the kind of crazy I can live with. Learn more about our Probiotic Essentials as well as other supplements at AskJoeD.com.
One of our biggest threats to our health and well-being can also be one of the simplest to address. I'm talking about stress. Here on Ask the Pharmacist, in addition to all the nutritional support we give your body, you'll also hear us talk a lot about the one who made it. As we deeply think about the character and goodness of God, as we release our cares to Him in prayer, it's amazing how even our greatest concerns are put into the proper perspective. It's help that's free of charge and comes without a prescription. Learn more at AskJoeD.com.
The health of your family is one of the most important factors in your life. You plan it into your budget, make annual checkups, and pray for a happy and healthy home. Joe DiMatteo from Ask the Pharmacist knows how valuable vital health and spiritual well-being is to you. That's why he hosts a daily call-in show dedicated to helping you achieve greater physical and spiritual health. Trying to keep you and your family healthy can be frustrating. As a certified pharmacist, clinical nutritionist, and naturopathic doctor, Joe specializes in bridging the gap between conventional and alternative medicines. Joe examines the most recent headlines and scientific breakthroughs to educate you on what is hype and what is really important. By providing daily insight into health news and natural alternatives, Joe DiMatteo strives to bring your health into a spiritual focus. He begins each show with prayer and reflection, asking for good health and happiness for you and their listeners all across America. Tune in, listen, learn, and live healthy with Ask the Pharmacist.
The health of your family is one of the most important factors in your life. You plan it into your budget, you make annual checkups, you pray for a happy and healthy home. Here on the Ask the Pharmacist show, I know how valuable vital health and spiritual well-being is to you. As a registered pharmacist, board-certified clinical nutritionist, and naturopath, it's my goal to help bridge the gap between conventional and alternative naturopathic medicine. Every day, I'm here to discuss the most recent headlines, scientific breakthroughs to educate you on what is most important or hype. By providing daily insight into health news and natural alternatives, I strive to bring your health into a spiritual focus with a firm reliance on God and the promises found in His Word. It's my prayer for you and listeners all across America that you enjoy good health and happiness each and every day. Stay tuned, listen, learn, and live healthy. This is Joe DiMatteo. Ask the Pharmacist continues in a moment. Here on Ask the Pharmacist, you will never hear that you should stop taking your medication in favor of a natural supplement. Because I don't view traditional medication and natural health as mutually exclusive. Your doctor may prescribe a statin, but he'll also advise a low-calorie or low-cholesterol diet. Literature shows that 50% of those who suffer a heart attack don't necessarily have high cholesterol. I'm Joe DiMatteo, and as a pharmacist and naturopath, I believe an integrated approach offers the best solution. What I often find is that as we begin to improve your state of health through natural means, improve your blood pressure, improve your vascular flow, some of the medications begin to fall away. The medication decrease is simply a natural result of improving your overall health. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Medication has its place, but so does diet and supplementation. I want to give you the best of both. Learn more about an integrated approach to health at AskJoeD.com.
One of our biggest threats to our health and well-being can also be one of the simplest to address. I'm talking about stress. Here on Ask the Pharmacist, in addition to all the nutritional support we give your body, you'll also hear us talk a lot about the one who made it. As we deeply think about the character and goodness of God, as we release our cares to Him in prayer, it's amazing how even our greatest concerns are put into the proper perspective. It's help that's free of charge and comes without a prescription. Learn more at AskJoeD.com.
Welcome back to America's Health Talk Hour. This is Joe DiMatteo of the Ask the Pharmacist broadcast. If you're just joining us, you can reach us today at 1-800-281-8255. That's 800-281-8255 or at AskJoeD.com. Let's get back to talking your health.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, folks, and thanks for being with us. That gal Sally on the swollen lymph nodes, on Levaquin, on steroids, not quite getting relief. Got to go after the immune system next. I'm not real sure. Maybe we do some mega doses, maybe 15,000 units of vitamin D for her for about 10 days, and then we back it down. Maybe an Immustem. We have a prep called Immustem Essentials that has arabinogalactanes and olive leaf extracts. Some fundamental boost and push to the immune system. Maybe we even do some high doses of vitamin A drops. So if she wants to call that off-air number, talk to Terry. There are some options there. She's on very powerful antibiotics plus steroids. And, you know, it's great. You know, she goes back and says, well, look, they said I had all this stuff going on in my lungs, but now I don't. So if we can help her more specifically, she can reach us off air, 888-865-9595. I'm going to get back to the phones in a second. If you missed the first half of the show, we talked a little bit about testosterone, how it can raise your risk for diabetes if it is low, right? So, again, not always just about the macho side of testosterone, but how about the functional side in disease state? When your testosterone is low, it raises your risk for diabetes. And we also see two separate articles, one recent, one about 5 or 6 months ago, talking about that how the insulin sensitivity and production within the pancreas is greatly diminished. It's nothing to take lightly. That's all I'll tell you. And I think for years it was perceived to be testosterone was, you know, men just taking testosterone was all about just this macho image thing. And it was a bit of a charade. Well, it's not. It is absolutely not. There are major implications to having your testosterone low from a health standpoint, right? Hey, we started the show and we opened up with the importance of praying and interceding and knowing that even when things are not going your way, that we need to press in, that we need to maintain a strength, a spiritual strength. The Bible depicts it here. It says strong, not easy to break or damage or subdue, having great moral power, having great resources, not easily disturbed. Take courage in your difficulties because of his promises to preserve us. We see that in verse 24. Be strong, take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Love the Lord, all his faithful people, for he preserves those who are true to him. Let's go back to the phones. 800-281-8255. Make sure you take a look at Facebook. Like us on Facebook. A lot of information. Go to the website. Look at our blogs. Look at under our blog section at AskJoeD.com. We've got articles that are helpful, articles that I know will encourage you, articles that will teach you. That's what it's all about. So they're kind of little tidbits and snippets and things that you would maybe catch on the show. And right under our blog site, articles, breast milk and premature babies, sedentary lifestyles, and your heart risk. Just some basic healthy eating tips that we put together a week or so ago. Study shows that ADD and ADHD diagnoses on the rise. What about ADHD medication and bone density in young children? These are all articles that are up for you to learn from, gather information from, help you to make decisions going forward. Good decisions, right? Hopefully, that would be the main thing. That would be our goal, to help you make good decisions. Let's go to Tony in Indiana. Tony, you're up. How can I help you?
I occasionally have vertigo. I'd like to know, is there a natural method I could use to get rid of it, vertigo and nausea?
Nausea usually will follow or come with the vertigo, unfortunately. I don't know if there's something that you can do that gets rid of it. I think what we often try to tell folks, we got to do the basics. Be careful the amount of sodium or salt that you take in. Sometimes some folks do well with a little bit of a diuretic or a water pill. So I would really be careful of your diet. Don't let your blood sugars drop. Don't skip meals. Try not to eat a lot of sugars so that the blood sugars don't change dramatically. And then I would put you on maybe like our coenzyme B complete, because the Bs and B12 and B6 seem to play a role and have a role in one of our bioflavonoid compounds. So you have probably three or four options, but I think along with that has to be a little bit of a lifestyle issue too, if you haven't already done that. Do you happen to have headaches as well, or migraines by chance?
Not migraines, just occasional headaches.
Occasional, not chronic though.
No.
Okay. All right. Don't let your blood sugars drop. A lot of times folks that have a trigger for vertigo, their blood sugars drop because either they skip meals or they eat too much sugar. So we want to make sure you eat well. Minimize the amount of sodium or salt that you consume. And I'd probably get you on some high doses of our lipoflavonoid, some high doses of coenzyme B. That would maybe even a ginkgo extract, some old time literature on good forms of ginkgo enhancing blood flow. So you have a couple of options, Tony. If you want, call the off air number. We can set up a short time and we can give you some literature and kind of set up a little plan for you. All right.
Okay. That'd
All right.
Good.
Great.
Thank you.
You're welcome,
Bye-bye.
Tony. Off-air number 888-865-9595. You can set up a consultation time with Terry. There's a small fee to do so. Certainly, obviously, if we're going to set that time with you, and it'll be well worth your while, because then you will have more options. Basically, you'll have more black and white options, more reasonable options at your disposal that you can work with. Let's go to Indiana and let's talk to Connie. Connie, you're up. How can I help?
Yes. My daughter is only 22 and she has been diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome. Her estrogen levels are very, very high and her progesterone levels are very, very low. She's going to a naturopath. Mm-hmm. But I'm just trying to figure out more ways to support her system. She's gone gluten-free and dairy-free. She basically is totally vegetarian, but she does a lot of fruits and vegetables, good proteins, grass-fed beef, and you know, all the good stuff. She exercises, and I'm just, it's breaking my heart because she wants to have a lot of children. And,
yes.
It's just, you know, what I read on this is not positive.
Right.
So I want to get her on a positive route.
Well, let's just go back for folks that, you know, maybe if we're going to tune in on a podcast, whatever. 22-year-old daughter, female. She is polycystic ovarian syndrome. And that just means that there's a characteristic string of pearls that appear on the ovaries. And it's usually linked to, as we see here, sometimes high estrogen, often very low progesterone, and often high testosterone or very high testosterone. Exercise, diet, reducing carbs, all of the things that your daughter right now, Connie, that she's implementing are very important, and I think she has to continue to do them. And then the next level is, if you're working with a naturopath, hopefully they're talking to you about the role of vitamin D, maybe even a prep called D-pentanol, which helps to improve insulin sensitivity. Maybe even in her case, berberine along with some ultrachrome. And the whole idea is this. If we can improve insulin sensitivity, disinsulinism or poor insulin sensitivity in women will typically cause a rise in testosterone, a drop in progesterone, increased facial hair, loss of hair on the scalp, increasing weight gain, and no periods, basically. So if we can, and then she needs to be repleted with some progesterone as well. So if your practitioner could, you know, or maybe your medical doc would be willing to prescribe some progesterone, that would be a way as well. But you're on the right track, doing the right things. She is. She absolutely is. I don't know that I would completely give up the ghost in the sense to feel that, you know, that this is it, that she's not going to be able to conceive. I don't know that I would go that far. You have to work at this, and I believe that there is a systematic approach. Has she had a vitamin D level done by chance?
He did. She had four different tests, very extensive tests done, a thyroid panel, I believe an adrenal panel. There were hormone panels.
Okay.
That's where he found the estrogen levels that were not good, where the progesterone was very low and the testosterone was very high. What had started it was an extreme acne outbreak.
She
had really beautiful skin, and then boom, just this uncontrollable acne. Nothing that she's used is helping it. And
that's often.
She still has her periods. She still, you know, she does have cramping.
Right.
But you know, nothing that you know lays her out.
But often as the hormones are changing and rising, and testosterone is rising, even estrogen. What will happen is it thickens the sebum. That sebum, as it thickens, congeals the pores, thickens in the pores, traps bacteria, hence infections brew and start. So it's, look, she's had a thyroid panel, she's had a female hormone panel, adrenals. I think if she hasn't had, and you've got to ask her to review her work, if she hasn't had a fasting and a free insulin, I believe that's important too. We should know what those values are, because if we can identify insulin resistance and then we can work very hard at improving that, see, that starts to turn the ship. There's nothing that you can do to just obliterate PCOS. What you've got to do is change the parameters that are pushing your body towards disinsulinism, and that disinsulinism is causing these rises and these changes in testosterone and estrogen. So I think there's three things that you need to get if she hasn't. 25 OHD, okay. Fasting insulin, free insulin. And if you want at some point in time, you continue to work with who you're working with there, but certainly we could give you a little bit of a bird's eye view, review the labs that she has, and then give you our 2 cents worth just in case there are some things that might still be being missed, which it sounds like there might be. Okay.
Yeah, and what was that first one? I got the fasting and the free insulin.
Free insulin. And
then you said a 25 something?
25 OHD, that's vitamin D level.
Okay.
Got to get those
right,
three.
She is wanting to, you know, get to the bottom of this so that when she gets married and she wants to have her everything normalized.
Yep. I couldn't agree more. It's a common problem that it's happening more and more and more. I believe there are a lot of environmental issues. I believe there are a lot of other triggers that are triggering an inflammatory response in the body, pushing the adrenals. I will tell you, vaccines linked to this. I don't know what she's had in the past, and environmental chemicals are pushing, and for many susceptible individuals, the adrenals, and it's causing high cortisol, high DHEA output, and certainly environmental chemicals. So her cleaning up her diet is very, very good. But these other three players, you have to know what they are as well. Hope that helps, Connie. God bless you.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Off-air number, 888-865-9595. The power of prayer. We're going to go back to these phones. But Isaiah 62, 6 and 7. So we were talking about the psalm and how David was basically saying, look, I am wretched. I have got so many things. People hate me. I am helpless. I am hopeless. I mean, that's basically, I'm in distress. I am weak with sorrow. I am grieved. My body and my life are consumed with anguish. I mean, he goes on and on about how bad and how distressed. And then he pulls himself out of it with this prayer that it basically says, but I will trust in you. You are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies. So that we've eventually have to know that we've got to be encouraged, that we're going to have to take heart and be strong and trust in him and put hope in him. And the Bible says that if you put hope in him, you need to take courage. Be strong. Take heart, because that's a good thing. As we close later on in the broadcast, I'm going to talk to you about Isaiah 62. And it says here that I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. Now, hard to figure, is this God speaking through Isaiah. Obviously, it's the Word of God, or is it this Isaiah? I don't really know the details of how to figure this out, but I believe it. The application is still there. There will never be a silent day or night. You who call upon the Lord, give yourselves no rest and give Him no rest, God no rest, till He establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. That sounds like two different subjects, right, from what we were talking about earlier, but it's not. The reason why it's not, there are times in our discordance and our distress and our hopelessness and our being despised and our being rejected and forgotten and hated, and we just feel like there's no way out. And God is telling you, you gotta be careful here. Don't give in. Stay diligent. Keep the watchman on the wall. In other words, pray and intercede. Watch over. Know that you can't be silent day or night, that you've gotta persist. And for those of us that call upon the Lord our God, give no rest. Persist in prayer. Let's go to Mike in Indiana. Mike, you're up. How can I help you?
Hi, good afternoon. I think I heard a lot of what I just needed to hear, but medically, I'm calling because of I've had two femoral pops. I was 100% blocked at one time. Second time, I was 80% blocked.
Wow.
And I have pretty severe nerve damage from the surgeries, neuropathy type thing.
Yeah.
The family physician that I have has me on gabapentin.
Yep.
600
yep.
milligrams of Neurontin. So,
okay.
If I could go natural, let's go.
All right.
I don't know where to look.
Well, he's had Mike, two femoral bypasses, some block, obviously major blockage, 100%, 80% second time around. Now the surgery has left him with some nerve damage. Gabapentin is just basically suppressing, if you will, the transduction of discomfort, pain, numbness, tingling, etc., whatever your sensations are, but it's not dealing with the core issues. So I think there's a couple options. Number one, long term though, you might be doing this 3 to 6 months. Acetyl L-carnitine, 500 milligrams twice a day. Alcar, we abbreviated Alcar, acetyl L-carnitine. Number two, there's a new combination prep. It is not ours. Neuro pH DPN, kind of a weird name, but what it has a specific form of pyridoxal 5-phosphate, a B6, specific form of folic acid, which we love, quadrifolic, and then high doses of B12. And the whole idea is to try to bring back some functionality to those nerves that have been damaged. Now, if they've been cut and they've been completely severed, I don't know. But if they've been damaged, does the body have the ability to regenerate that nerve tissue? It does. It just takes a long time. I had the numbers on the top of my tip of my tongue. I can't remember how much a nerve, the length that it'll grow or regrow and regenerate over the course of a year, and it's slow. So this would take some time, but I think certainly there is an option. Gabapentin is dealing with the symptoms. It's doing nothing to try to help that nerve regenerate, unfortunately.
Okay.
All right. Oh, by the way, if you've had, you know, bypasses of those arteries long term, you need to think about having some labs done that can give you some idea. Do you have high homocysteine? Have they checked that? Do you have an MTHFR deficiency that's genetic? I mean, there are some things that you need to look into because it looks like you're highly predisposed, very predisposed to arteriosclerosis. Okay?
All right, sir. I appreciate your time.
Thank you're very welcome, Mike. Have a great day. So, again, you know, that question was singular. How do I get off of the gabapentin if I have some nerve damage due to surgery? And so we have some options naturally. But then the other part of that equation is, what about how he got to having those femoral arteries blocked 100%, 80%? How did he get? Well, there could be some issues. Medically, they would tell you it's always cholesterol. Are there other factors? Is it LP little a? Is it homocysteine? MTHFR? Elevated C-reactive protein. There are other issues that you need to look at and check into that gives you some idea. Probiotics is it possible that they can mitigate stress at exam time? Quick little study piece. This was done in Japan, the Applied Environmental Microbiology Journal, and it appeared in the American Society for Microbiology. They took 23 medical students, 24 controls, 23 they put on these high doses of the Lactobacillus casei strain of probiotics, another 24 they put on placebo. And these medical students, as they were running up and, you know, taking medical, like nationwide medical exams, and these standardized exams, basically this was saying, can we see if, believe it or not, probiotics can impact levels of anxiety? You're going to be shocked. Study demonstrated that the consumption of the probiotics reduced even gastrointestinal pain, dysfunction, and the feelings of being stressed out. It also dampened the rise in salivary cortisol levels. The percentage of bacteria from the stress-related Bacteroides species increased prior to exams in the placebo group. Meanwhile, in the students on the probiotics, they maintain healthier, more diverse populations of gut bacteria throughout the time leading up to the exam. We suspect, say the researchers, that this contributed to reducing their stressful symptoms. Gut-brain link. Now, how about gut stress link? I'm certainly not going to say that that's a cure for stress and anxiety, but if you're not doing something like the probiotic essentials three or four a day or the probiotic 100s and you're under a lot of stress, boy, this is what gets confusing at times, trying to fuse all this together for folks. And you start talking to them about bacteria in the gut and anxiety, and they think you're crazy. Well, I'm not crazy. There are links here. Off-air number 888-865-9595. Isaiah 62 is basically saying, look, you can't give up. Just for Zion's sake, don't keep silent. For the house of God, don't keep silent. For the work of God in your hand, don't keep silent. I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. As God said, I have put people to watch over. I'm calling on intercessors to watch over. They will never be silent day or night. You who call upon the Lord, give yourselves no rest and give Him no rest, give God no rest till He establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. Sometimes in difficulties, we have to find it within us to take strength, to take courage, to take heart, to not bend, to not break, to resist damage so that we can continue to go on. Not easily disturbed. Be a believer that is not easily disturbed. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. Lord willing, I see you tomorrow at 3. See you then.